Welcome to episode 3 of our TRX podcast with AG. Today I'll be chatting with two incredible experts in the field of foundational nutrition. Joining me are Dr. Tesh Marshall, Director of Nutrition and Science Communications for OIG, and Olivia Pelez, Product Education Specialist. In part 2 of our series on foundational nutrition, we'll be delving deeper into the world of supplements and exploring the scientific approach behind them. Dr. Tesh Marshall brings her extensive knowledge and expertise to help us understand the importance of supporting our body's baseline needs and how foundational nutrition plays a vital role in our overall well-being. Olivia will also guide us through the evolution of supplementation and explain why foundational nutrition is a significant improvement over single approach supplements. She'll shed light on the confusion that often surrounds the supplement industry and discuss how AG1, our featured product, simplifies the process by providing comprehensive support in the most convenient way possible. Enjoy the episode.
And last, the third bucket of this is really gut health. So you can consume all the nutrients that you want, but if you don't have a healthy gut, you're not actually able to absorb them as best as we can. So there's this kind of trifecta approach that we reference, thinking about micronutrients, the synergy with phytonutrients, and consuming that through a healthy gut. Yeah, for sure. So I'm Dr. Tess Marshall. I'm a naturopathic physician, and I'm also the Director of Nutrition and Science Communications here at AG. So, I set out on this journey to be a naturopathic doctor, quite some time ago. And I was really interested in just like the power that these natural compounds have inside of the body. They, as a younger woman, I was really stressed and I had a lot of gut issues. So I was always looking for things to kind of balance and kind of synchronize my body. And once I kind of found that path myself, I became really, really interested in it and wanted to find different ways to communicate how impactful that these nutrients can be on the body.
Great. Perfect. Thanks for that. Olivia.
Yeah, so similar to Tess, my name is Olivia Pelez. I'm a product education specialist at Athletic Greens. I'm on the research and nutrition team along with Tess. So my background is all things nutrition and functional medicine. So I was actually like the weird kid my mom said who was always asking for healthy food. So I kind of joke around that I think I innately knew the power of foods from a very young age. So the obvious career choice for me when it came to deciding seemed to be to become a registered dietitian. So I went through my bachelor's to get my degree in dietetics and nutrition, and for personal reasons that I won't go into, but decided that becoming a registered dietitian wasn't necessarily the best choice for me. And then I kind of stumbled into functional medicine and integrative medicine, which was much more aligned with my beliefs around nutrition, really, kind of a food as medicine approach. Like, how do we look at a systems-based approach to the body and a root cause, as opposed to always just treating symptoms? So I went on to get my master's in functional medicine and nutrition, and I recently just completed another certification to be an integrative and functional nutrition certified practitioner, which is a mouthful. So I'm a lifelong nerd, love to learn about all things nutrition and how it affects the body, because I think it plays such a crucial role in pretty much every aspect of health. So I love what I'm able to do here at Athletic Greens in educating about the product.
Brilliant. Thank you both very much for that. So this conversation is a continuation of foundational nutrition that we spoke with Dr. Ralph on the previous episode. So Tess, I'd like to start with yourself. What is the scientific approach behind foundational nutrition?
We have taken this approach to almost be a paradigm shift from thinking about what are traditional nutrient recommendations that were needed to support the body every day to just thinking about something that was more robust. So from a nutritional point of view, we always know the importance and the value that macronutrients bring to us, that micronutrients bring to us. So that's the proteins, the carbs, fats, vitamins, and minerals, which are recommended for us to consume in what we know as the daily allowances. And essentially what these nutrients are doing, they're helping us function, they're helping us live every day, but they're not recommended to us in values that are maybe optimal for our function, or looking beyond just every day and looking into compound benefits as we age. So additionally, based on the understanding that we have on this interconnectivity of our body, we understand that the body also needs more, which kind of expands our idea on what the body truly needs, leading us into this concept of phytonutrients, right? So there's years and years of data showing that consuming a diet rich in whole foods, which is if we take a look at like the Mediterranean diet, you can see that consuming a diet wide in these whole foods, fruits and vegetables, has a really strong impact on our health span. But despite that, we still only have recommendations to consume 8 to 10 fruits and vegetables per day. So within our science approach to foundational nutrition, we are looking at which phytonutrients are the most important for us to consume every day, not only for fueling our biochemistry, but starting to stabilize processes in our body that are important for our health longevity. And last, the third bucket of this is really gut health. So you can consume all the nutrients that you want, but if you don't have a healthy gut, you're not actually able to absorb them as best as we can. So there's this kind of trifecta approach that we reference, thinking about micronutrients, the synergy with phytonutrients, and consuming that through a healthy gut.
In the UK specifically, I know you've mentioned like 8 to 10 fruits and vegetables. We have like a marketing slogan here. That's the only way I can explain it, where it's, you know, you're 5 a day. Is that really, well, not a load of rubbish, but really kind of like the bare minimum people should be taking? A lot more. And it's pretty much nowhere near what, you know, for the optimal nutrition and performance, whether it's within fitness or just daily life. It's really only the tip of the iceberg of what you should be doing from a nutrition point of view.
That's exactly right. And that these recommendations are also just to support your baseline health. So when you think about your baseline, what is that? It's like your ability to think, your ability to digest, and your ability to move. So if you're not consuming those 5 a day, or if you're not consuming the 8 to 10 a day, then your body's under-supported and you can maybe be moody or have digestive issues and fatigue. So when we think about foundational nutrition, we're taking it through the lens of like, what do you need to consume every day to even elevate your baseline? So imagine, you know, showing up with energy, focus, and having, you know, strength in your body to live your life.
Moving on swiftly on, in terms of like foundational nutrition supplements, what are they and why are they important from a compared to single approach supplements, as an example?
Yeah, so it's pretty much like what Tess mentioned, that I think with foundational nutrition, we're really looking to shift the paradigm around what supplementation should look like. I don't know about you, but if I ever walk the supplement aisle at like our local grocery store here, I'm like, oh my God, there's 10,000 products. What do I need? Which one's good? Which one has the right amounts? Which one's in the right forms? So I think it can be really overwhelming for consumers to understand, okay, what does my body actually need from a foundational nutrition perspective? So really evolving what the thinking behind supplementation is, to not just be like, okay, I have this issue, I'm going to take this product. How do we look at what our body needs from a foundational level? And again, really shifting that paradigm. So when I think about supplements that are foundational, I think of products that have nutrients to build that strong foundation for physical health, mental health, and performance. And I think performance is an interesting word too, because I know we're on a TRX podcast, so there's probably a lot of gym goers and gym enthusiasts out there, but really we're all performers in our own right. So whether you are that gym goer who's maybe working out 4 to 5 times a week, or maybe you're just a mom trying to keep up with her kids, like we're all looking to perform at our best each day. So I think that's important for people to recognize too, is definitely, performance can mean different things to different people. And I think of it as like, I love using this analogy of a house, right? Like if you and your wife are like, our family's growing, like we need to build a new home. Where are you going to start with your home? Well, you're going to start with the foundation, right? Like you're not going to start picking out window treatments and paint colors and all these add-ons until you have really solidified your foundation. So that's kind of how I think of supplementation as well. It's like, what do we need at our foundation to really create this baseline health that's elevated and not just like sufficient, if you will. So I think it's important for people to look at it as, you know, not necessarily wanting to have just that single product. And really anyone could kind of create their own foundational nutrition regimen if they were just piecemealing a bunch of different products together. But what I really love and appreciate about Athletic Greens and AG1 is that it is the most convenient way to get that foundational nutrition in on a daily basis.
In terms of supplements itself, and I asked Dr. Ralph this on the previous episodes, obviously we talked about kind of in your grocery stores and shopping aisles, there's just a whole range of supplements, and people, some people, not everyone, will have in their kitchen just like a drawer just full of all these supplements, not really sure what to take, and actually substituting it from food, which I can understand to a point, because sometimes, you know, you can't, you know, create that menu of food or hydration that you can take every day. So supplementing is really, really good. But you wouldn't necessarily recommend just taking supplements and having a regular diet or eating as you normally would. You would need to look at the nutrition side of your food, and then the supplements there would also help elevate your nutrition from that level. Would that be the case in terms of taking an AG1 as an example?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I cannot preach enough, like, food first always when it comes to nutrition. But with that being said, like, I'm a nutritionist. Like, my job is literally to eat well. Yeah. And even I don't get everything in my diet every single day. Like, I do my best to consume, like, honestly, way more than 8 to 10 fruits and vegetables per day. But it's hard. And I also think we forget that we're up against so much in our environment in terms of, like, toxins and stress. And those things deplete our nutrient stores as well. So you have people who probably aren't eating enough. And then you also have this compounded, you know, extra additional stress and toxins that our body is trying to fight. So in my mind, it only makes sense to kind of like level up our defenses to know that we can actually deal with the demands that we have on our body every single day.
That was great. I fully agree. And even myself, it's hard, especially having a busy lifestyle. If you need to travel, we're kind of always changing up our routines, and having something that can support this foundation from a supplement level is just gives you that reassurance. Even some phytonutrients are just hard to get in the diet. Like, are you eating these exotic fruits? Do you even have access to them? Or, you know, some phytonutrients come from roots, which just as a human, I don't like eating some of these really earthy flavors. So being able to package that up in a supplement is really important.
I think it also, like you both alluded to this, but it saves time as well. Like you say, to try and make the effort to try and get the food. Sometimes you can't, like you said, we're talking about eating roots, which not many people are going to do. So it actually helps time, it, you know, saves a lot of time, especially if you're having AG1 in the morning, breakfast, before you go to work, a school run, you know, you're getting that base level of foundational nutrition without having to think about it too much as well, which I think is important in this lifestyle that most people have got now, where it's very, very hectic a lot of the time. Tess, what is AG1 for the people that are new to Athletic Greens, well, formerly Athletic Greens, have never tried AG1? Can you just go through, you know, why it is really the pinnacle of foundational nutrition when it comes to supplements?
Yeah, so it's a foundational nutrition supplement that supports your whole body health. And we do this with a really simple formula that combines comprehensive nutrients that are not only addressing the whole body, but really prioritizing the importance of the brain, the gut, and the immune system, which when some of these foundational areas of the body are supported, the whole rest of the body elevates and can function at its best. So we also have been, since 2012, been providing this support for the body through vitamins, through probiotics, and through whole food sourced ingredients, and really always committing to delivering the highest ingredients to our customers in the most simple routine. You really can't beat just one scoop once a day in water. It takes less than a minute to drink. So, you know, it's rare to see this much nutrient comprehension in just such a small, easy habit.
Great. And Olivia, what makes AG1 like the best nutrition supplement you can take at the moment?
How much time do we have, Nathan?
Oh, I've got all day. So yeah, feel
great.
Free.
Okay, perfect. So I would say the things that stand out to me the most are going to be, first, like our obsession. And when I say obsession, like I truly do mean obsession with continuous improvement. So a lot of people probably don't know this, but we're actually on like our 52nd iteration of AG1, which to me just screams like constant pursuit of improving. Like, we're not like, oh yeah, one and done. We got it. We have the perfect product. Like, no need to innovate. Like, we're constantly keeping up with the science and the research and what's coming out to say, how can we make AG1 better to provide like more benefits to our customers, which is, I think, is really, really cool. And then the second piece with that of that would be our obsession with quality. So it's kind of this three-pronged approach that I look at. So we really take research like super seriously, like I just mentioned, like we're constantly iterating. So we're always looking at what is the latest research, what is being said in the scientific literature, how can we, you know, use that clinical data to help drive new innovations and new iterations of AG1. We actually have a really great in-house team of like research and development professionals. So people who are experts in microbiome science, natural medicine like Tess, nutrition like myself. So we're constantly looking at ways that we can evolve the product to offer more to our consumers, like I just mentioned. And then in addition to that, I would say like sourcing and bioavailability. So I know Tess touched on it, but like there's nutrients that exist in food that actually aren't in forms that are the most readily available for our body to use. So when we're looking at what nutrients we're going to include in AG1, we're like, okay, what form can we include that's the best bioavailability for our body to utilize? So I think that that's a really great thing for people to know as well, is that we consider that in our formulation. And then the last thing I would say is testing. So we have one product, AG1. We do 790 tests on one product to make sure it's free of basically all of the junk and garbage that we don't want to be consuming. So the industry standard is actually 10, and we put AG1 through 790 tests, which I think is a huge testament to the quality of our product. And then another little fun fact for people to know is that our founder actually taste tests the product himself every single batch to make sure that it's up to our standards. So we definitely have a no compromises approach when it comes to quality and continuous improvement.
That's amazing, the amount of tests that you do, 790. And you say, you've said that the standard recommendation is 10.
Yeah, the industry standard for the amount of tests is 10.
So what, could you give a couple of examples on some of the tests that you would have to do based on the standard recommendations? And obviously you're going above and beyond with hundreds more tests. You know, why do you feel you need to do those tests and why that necessarily isn't part of the standard recommendation?
So when it comes to testing, industry standard, right, the industry obviously doesn't want to hurt the consumer. So there's just some basic things that are always being tested for. We're looking at heavy metals. We're looking at microbiology, right? You don't want to consume a product that contains something like salmonella. So these things are quite controlled, especially here in the US. But when it comes to testing for specific allergens or testing for specific contaminants and different herbicides and pesticides, that is really at the discretion of the company. So here for AG1 specifically, we're looking at over 500 different herbicides and pesticides. We're checking for glyphosate and even some metabolites of glyphosate, which in my opinion, you know, is extremely important, especially with a formula that says has so many whole foods.
Based on that then, Tess, can you explain how AG1 supports foundational nutrition?
Yeah, even going back a little bit to the science approach, right, we wanted to understand how the body is working, really, especially as the body has evolved, what are those key nutrients that you should be consuming every day? And based on what that scientific approach is, we've derived this high quality supplement. So a portion of the AG1 formula is on micronutrients. So these are what we like to think of as like the fuel for your function. So some of these can be hard to obtain in the diet, but they really are acting like these specific cofactors or substrates for our gut biochemistry. And what that means is that they can transform into other compounds that, you know, help build structures in our body or, you know, help us think or help us with our metabolism. On the other side, this is where we have phytonutrients, and that might be a new word for people or something that sounds a little bit too scientific. And how do you know that you're consuming phytonutrients? So what this means, honestly, is it's the active part of whole foods. So whether it's in a stress adaptogen, whether it's in mushrooms or a trendy ingredient, it's really the nutrients that are inside of that complete food that have an activity in your body. And what's really important about phytonutrients is that they don't provide fuel for your cells per se. They more are stabilizing some of these signals in our body or the communication between these health systems that we like to mention. So one that most people can maybe have heard about before is your brain and your adrenal glands or your brain and your gut. We have these connections that are really important to kind of synchronize throughout the day. So this way they stay balanced and stay healthy. For the case of stress adaptogens, for instance, the phytonutrients inside of them are really important for almost harmonizing and tonifying your brain, being alerted in a stressful environment, and then helping your body respond to that in a more balanced and a resilient way.
Great. So it actually, so sorry, Tess, sorry to interrupt. So it actually, IG1 actually helps with plateauing a lot of your stress levels.
Yeah, and especially when you look at it from a nutritional lens, all of these things, and Olivia highlighted a little bit on it before, was that we're up against these stressors every day, whether it's emotional stress, whether it's environmental stress, which takes away from our nutrient status. Our bodies need more nutrients to keep up with this higher demand. So phytonutrients are really important of almost balancing and priming the body to maintain and keep their nutritional status.
Is there any other ways that IG1 can support foundational nutrition?
Yeah, and that is through that gut health piece. So we use a blend of pre and probiotics that are helping support the gut lining. It's helping diversify the microbiome so we can absorb our nutrients better. And what's really, really interesting about this is some phytonutrients humans aren't meant to even digest or even be able to use. So there are some synergies between our body and our microbiome of where our gut microbiome actually transforms phytonutrients into a more readily available form that our bodies can then have benefit from, which is like super, super interesting and really impactful for our health.
So Olivia, do you need to take IG1 every day?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think of it as like really any like habit or skill that you want to be able to like maintain or perfect, right? Like we have fitness enthusiasts, right, who listen to this podcast. They wouldn't expect to go to the gym like once a month and be able to like maintain their muscles, right? Like it's like with anything that you have to be consistent if you really want to maintain that. So for me, I like to think of it as AG1 especially is a really great way to habit stack because it's such a simple like 1 minute habit. So for me, when I started taking it, I was like, okay, what's something that I already do every single day? And I can just almost pair my AG1 habit with that. And for me, it was going for a walk. Like when I wake up, I love to get ready, put on my shoes and get outside for some sunlight and even just like a 5 to 10 minute walk. So I'm like, okay, now I'm going to make my AG1 and now go for a walk. So that was my easy way to habit stack and make it a consistent part of my day. And even for me, like I was mentioning before, even as a nutritionist, like it's hard for me to get in what I need to every single day. And as someone who eats really well, like even I felt a difference taking AG1 in the first few weeks. And for me, it was noticing like, oh, wow, like I actually don't crave that like second cup of coffee in the afternoon. Like my energy levels were more sustained. I was finding that I was having more clarity and like more focus during the day throughout work. So that was a huge testament. I'm like, if I was already, you know, almost experiencing some depletion in my nutrient levels and I could experience benefits, like how could everybody else feel? So, you know, I kind of challenge people to think like, what would it feel like to elevate your baseline health to a higher level? Like, what would that feel like for you? So it could be, you know, more mental clarity, more energy, more focus, maybe more resilience in your immune system. Like the benefits are so vast and I think it can be really individualized. But again, I would say the most important thing is making it a part of your daily routine to, again, really ensure that your body is getting that foundational nutrition it needs.
Perfect. And would you say it's best to take it first thing in the morning or can people take it whenever they want throughout the day?
So I like to take it first thing in the morning because for one, it's like a mental thing for me. It's like, okay, I got my like nutritional basis covered and it makes me want to eat better throughout the rest of the day. So that's why I like to take it first thing in the morning. And again, I paired it with my morning walk. But I think at the end of the day, as long as someone is getting it into their daily routine, would be the most important part.
Okay. And obviously in the previous episode, we talked about the importance of hydration. So for example, if someone's working out or about to do a training session, whatever that may be, could they have an AG1 alongside that? Would that also be okay? Or would you rather say, look, it's probably best to take it an hour before or even after your workout, if you are going to take it, if you're not going to take it first thing in the morning, as an example?
When it comes to exercising, it is not meant to be a pre-workout or even a rehydration therapy. So it is meant to, you know, deliver nutrients that you need to function at your best. You might notice, like if you are going for a run or for a sprint, that you maybe have more energy or more mental clarity to do that by the function of the ingredients supporting endurance and stamina. But we do not recommend using it as a pre-workout.
Okay, that's good to know. And then in terms of Olivia, you obviously mentioned like getting into a habit and you noticed after a few weeks, is there or can you go through kind of, you know, if people were taking AG1 for a week, would that, what differences would they notice? And then, you know, after taking it for 3 months, would that, you know, whole life have changed, or would they feel less stressed generally? Is there kind of points where people could recognize it, or like, as you mentioned, is it different for everyone? Everyone's a little bit different how they take their AG1 and the benefits that they notice straight away, or, you know, after a few months taking a supplement.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's important to remember that everyone's baseline health will be different. So my baseline health probably differs a little bit from yours, which probably differs a little bit from Tess's. So someone could maybe feel a different difference or different benefit in a week. I can use like my family members as an example. Like, of course, I recommended AG1 to my entire family. And my brother and my sister, like within the first week, were like, oh my gosh, like my digestion, like I can tell such a difference. So that was something that they experienced. That wasn't something I experienced my first week. I experienced more of that energy and mental clarity. So again, I think it just depends on an individual's baseline health. Where are they starting? And that can kind of impact like what the benefits they'll experience will be.
Great. And for someone that necessarily doesn't have the best diet in the world, if they were starting to take AG1, obviously they would start to see and feel improvements. But would that only go to a certain level if they're not going to change their diet at all? So if they were really, you know, takeaways every night, really bad diet, would there be a certain limit that AG1 can only help with?
Well, there's only, you know, so much that a supplement can do. And even when you think about this constant stress that you're putting on your body, you're almost taking your baseline down to being undersupported every single day. So will you get to that like state of like elevated health and your elevated being? Probably not. But we do know, just based on ingredient data, you know, supporting the gut with pre and probiotics helps diversify your microbiome, which does help you, you know, digest and manage certain elements in the diet. So I think there's, for some people, it'll be more about course correction, and then other people who are really looking to magnify their health, it'll be more about that optimal function.
And then in terms of supplements generally as a whole, alongside AG1, is there any other supplements that you would generally recommend taking as part of, like, you know, a nutrition diet, you know, if you're exercising regularly, to really elevate that kind of overall nutrition well-being and foundational nutrition? Or would you say, along, you know, AG1, a healthy diet, exercising, meditation, and you're pretty much setting the baseline in for a really quality of life overall?
For sure. Well, we designed AG1 to be that simple supplement, so you don't need to take multiple health products. That being said, there are some other foundational nutrients that we know are integral to health, which is vitamin D and omegas. And we actually have those products for our customers as if they subscribe to AG1. Mostly, we always care about bioavailability and we'll never compromise the product just to put an ingredient inside of it. So vitamin D, you know, is best paired with vitamin K2. It's best taken in oil form. So we have them in these liquid drops that pair well with our AG1 formula. And then we also have omegas, and those are in the form of fish oil. They are in capsules because I don't know anyone who likes to, you know, drink their fish oil.
No, I'm definitely one of them. No, supplement tablets all the way if we can. The research that you're both doing at the moment, and I know you continuously, like you, Olivia mentioned, you're testing all the time. Is there any research that you're doing at the moment that you're really excited about? What is the future for nutrition as a whole, or even with AG as a company?
I think based on some of your other conversations, especially with Jeremy, who's focused in, exercise and physical science, and then Trevor, who is on another episode about the microbiome, kind of gives you some inkling into our like favorite areas of health that we like to tap into. So outside of just learning more about how the body functions with these nutrients, we're also looking at this synergy, not only between the ingredients themselves, but with our microbiome.
I don't know if it's that I'm excited about, but I'm eager to see how nutrition recommendations evolve in the coming years. I think they're fairly outdated, and I know we mentioned it, like, to me, they kind of set you up for like sufficient health but not optimal health. So I'm eager to see how the recommendations evolve to kind of take into consideration the latest research and clinical data that shows like, yeah, this might have worked 30, 40 years ago, but now we're actually seeing that people need much more than what we originally thought. So fingers crossed on
Perfect.
that.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
That's
Yeah,
a great
definitely.
call out,
Yeah.
Olivia. Even like we could probably spend a whole hour on just talking about the history behind nutrient recommendations and the lack of evolving that they have had over the last, 50 to 80 years.
Yeah, I thought about it this morning, actually. I was like, if you look at even like how much technology has changed in the last 30 years, like it's been insane the amount of technological involvement we've had. And it's like, but how has like our nutrient recommendations like stayed the same? So that could be a whole other podcast part two. But that's
I
something
look
that
forward to that
I'm
one.
really interested in. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely like to have that conversation. You know, the nutrition as education hasn't really evolved, like you've mentioned, in terms of technology and other areas of science and fitness and so on. But do you think the appetite for education and nutrition around nutrition, sorry, has it, there's a bigger appetite now than there was 5 years ago, or even before COVID?
I do. I just, even when you think of people's interest to knowing about their health, like if you look at wearable technology, things are coming up all the time, not even for your step count, but there's some pretty really cool tech out there that is looking on how you're metabolizing nutrients. And I think, the craze of the keto diet maybe have started that, but you can like breathe in these devices that tell you if you're burning carbohydrates or if you're burning fat. So I think there's a really, really strong consumer interest in what's going on inside of them, which is reflecting in some of the educational work we're doing.
Hopefully, and I'm confident people have an appetite to learn more. Where could they potentially go, whether that's the IG website or if there's resources that you could both recommend where people could find out a bit more information based on some of the stuff that we've talked about today?
Yeah, so some places where I always like to keep up with research, I am busy, have a full-time job. I'm always listening to podcasts with other forward thinkers, other science people in the space, Andrew Huberman as such. But if you are looking for more information about foundational nutrition, you definitely can check out drinkag1.com and read more about our research and contributions to that category.
Yeah, I like listening to podcasts of people who like I appreciate their opinion and I trust their what they have to say. I actually like Mark Hyman. He has some good stuff to say, and Dr. Jeffrey Bland. Deanna Minnick is someone else that I really follow. She's really big into the phytonutrient category, so I think she has a lot of great content there. And then, as Tess mentioned, if someone's looking for specific information around like our ingredients and what's in AG1, I think our website would be the best.
So Tess, what are the three things you would suggest someone could do to improve their life, given your expertise?
Yeah, so there's three things that come to mind for me. It is de-stressing, maybe the most important, and eating well. And then also just finding a way to exercise and love it. So I'm coming from actually was a competitive figure skater most of my whole life. So just, having that day in and day out exercise, you almost have a little resentment. So I spent a lot of my 20s being a little bit lazy. And now that I'm 30, I care about aging. I'm finding different things that I actually like and can show up for every day. So whether that's yoga, I really like to strength train. Oh, excuse me. I really like to strength train over things like running or doing long-term cardiovascular activity.
That's great. And how often are you training and working out?
I train about 4 times a week. I do, I'm one of those people who needs rest and recovery to feel really healthy. So 4 is about my limit.
Well, the nutritionist is going to have the cliche advice, but just eat more real food. Like I read a really bizarre statistic the other day that most Americans, or 56% of an American's diet is processed foods, and that just like blew my mind. So I think if people can, push a little bit more of that out of their diet and move a little bit more real food into their diet, I think that would make a huge difference from a nutritional perspective. In line with what Tess said, just move your body, whatever that looks like to you. If it's walking, if it's jogging, if it's dancing, if it's swimming, like whatever that looks like to you, just move your body. And then lastly would be prioritize sleep. I love my sleep. I'm a
100%.
9 hour gal, so yeah, sleep is where it's at.
Are you an early morning riser? Do you go to bed early and get up early, or are you more of a late night owl and then sleeping?
I would say in the last probably year, I've really tried to prioritize my sleep in the sense of sticking to a pretty consistent routine, and I have found that it has impacted my health and my focus like tremendously. So I try and go to bed by like 10, 10:30, and then get up by 7.
Same as me then, exactly the
Yeah.
same as me. Yeah,
So no,
it's
I'm
good
not like
to
a 4:30 a.m. workout person. Like I know people who do that, and I'm like, absolutely
no
not.
no no those days are gone now for me, so I'd rather get up at a decent time and then have a workout. So
Yeah.
that's good. What's the best thing you could do for your body? You know, if you've got 5 minutes, what would you recommend someone do?
In short, I'm going to say breathe. Take some time out of your day just to sit with yourself, quiet your thinking, and draw some attention into your breath. Maybe that pairs well with my recommendation that de-stressing is the most important thing you can do for your health. But yeah, a little bit biased here, but breathing and smashing AG1. You can fit that in just 1 minute.
Perfect. And Olivia, what would you say?
I would say walk. Get outside and you can get some sunlight, even better. But go for a 5 minute walk around the block, and you can focus on your breath in that 5 minutes as well. And then, yeah, I'm gonna have to say an AG1 in that time as well.
Brilliant. And how do you both take your AG1? Tess, we'll start with you.
Pretty simple. I just drink it with cold water and ice. It's almost non-negotiable on the ice. It tastes amazing and through a straw.
I don't think I knew that about you, Tess, but definitely aligned with the ice piece. Like it has to be cold. But I'm simple. I'm just water and ice.
Yeah, straight through. And both of you taking it first thing in the morning, yes?
Yeah, it's the first
Yeah.
thing that I
Yes.
consume in the day.
Oh, perfect. And obviously this is a TRX podcast, so I can't go without asking about TRX workouts. So you both have TRX suspension trainers. So Tess, favorite exercises, what do you enjoy using the suspension trainer for? Is it mobility? Is it general bit of everything? What are your favorite exercises?
I love the TRX trainer. Honestly, it is like so nimble. I could take it wherever I need to. I actually use it in my house. I use it in my apartment gym. So it's really, really simple for me to get in these like crucial exercises. But some of them that I like is jump squats. I
Yeah.
like knee tucks where you put your feet into the training suspenders. And then I love just hanging on it, honestly, for pec stretches.
Oh, that's such a good stretch. Yeah, I'll
Yeah,
try and do
it's
that
like the
stretch. Yeah.
Superman. So these are gonna be my favorite ones that I love to hate because they like hurt so good type of feeling. I'm gonna have to say Romanian split squats,
Yes.
glute
Okay.
bridges, and then back row. So big posterior chain gal over here.
Oh, we love the back row as well. Again, really some really good exercises. I think from a back row, I mean most of our listeners will know this, but we've done some research with a couple of universities back over the years, and we claim that, well, we know that we own the back row because we activate more muscle fibers around the back when doing the exercise than any other piece of equipment. So if you're going to do a row, you use a TRX to really get the best out of it. So it's good that you're using that suspension trainer a lot for your back and all the other exercises that you do. We're kind of wrapping up now. So thanks again, both very much for your time. I really do appreciate it. I'm sure the listeners of the podcast will really enjoy the conversation that we had. Again, thanks again for your research and your recommendations for the website. If people want to know more about yourselves, if there's articles that you've wrote, if you're on social media, where can people find more about both of you? Tess, we'll start with you.
Yeah, so in my past and in my career, I've published a few articles. If you, I think, just type my name, Tess Marshall, into PubMed, they should pop up. Otherwise, I do have my personal doctor Instagram, which is Dr. Tess Marshall as the handle.
Brilliant. Thanks, Tess. And Olivia?
Yeah, people can follow me on Instagram. It's actually in Spanish, so I don't know if you can put it like in the caption or something, but it's Live La Nutricionista. So I share a lot of recipes there. I actually share a lot about Hispanic culture, something I'm really passionate about. So if people want to follow along, I'm always sharing my favorite nutrition news over there.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for your time, both of you. I really enjoyed that conversation. And yeah, hopefully look forward to getting an episode again with you both in the near future.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Nathan. Yeah.
That was episode 3 of our TRX podcast with AG. Be sure to check out our final episode of this series next week, where I'll be chatting with Dr. Trevor Kirby on gut microbiome. Should be an interesting episode.